An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, we observe the feast of Saint Joseph the Betrothed, their ancestor, King David, and Joseph's son, St. James, the Lord's brother. Our gospel reading also recounts the slaughter of the innocents, which was the feast we observed yesterday, ordered by Herod the Great, who was not a descendant of King David, but rather descended from Arabs on both sides of his family. He put out the claim that he was descended from returnees of the Babylonian exile, promoting the idea that they alone were the real people of God, having passed through, quote, the second Exodus, unquote. Following King Herod's execution of his three sons, two by strangulation, Augustus Caesar quipped, I would rather be Herod's pig, his hus, than his son, his huihus. For Herod was scrupulous to appear to be pious, observing the dietary laws, but in fact presented before God the heart of a monster, and no doubt he went out for bacon cheeseburgers and clams whenever he could. The atmosphere in his household was famously one of deception, conspiracy, and murder. A poisonous atmosphere that would claim the life of the Pure One, St. John the Baptist, and play a part in the crucifixion of the Holy One, Jesus. Thus we have two mirror images. King David and his Hebrew descendants being the true people of God, and King Herod propping up a counterfeit image. The chaste and pious spouse and gentle stepfather Joseph, with his son and his stepson, representing the true descent of the people of God, attested by no less than the Son of God, contrasted with the Herodians, representing the false, indeed, grotesques of cruelty, illicit sex, incest, and slaughter. The incarnate God healing the creation with his divine innocence, the Creator being born into the creation, thereby renewing it, contrasted with Herod attempting to stamp out innocence itself. Saint Athanasius wrote, the Creator entering the creation with his own person produced a cosmic shock sufficient to flip the telos, our telos, from death to life. Saint Irenaeus wrote that Jesus entered our life world as an infant, that he might recapitulate the unfinished life of Adam, reconciling us to God. Do you see, he heals the creation by the Creator touching it with his own person. This is an organic shock throughout. And then he does so by living his life in it. He finishes the course Adam departed from. Yes, Jesus heals the creation, but that is only a beginning. A world-changing beginning, but still a beginning. He has opened the way for us with his own life. Up ahead, the path to heaven is no longer blocked by that insuperable A impediment, death. For Jesus has redrawn the blueprint of human life and destiny. As I say, he flipped the telos. How do we keep that new blueprint alive within ourselves? I mean, Adam had been given a blueprint. All he had to do was live it, eternal life. Noah was given a blueprint, a whole new pristine world. But they defiled the blueprint. They ruined it through grave sin, through their animal lusts. And now we are given a new blueprint. Some people think that we are just simply swept into heaven on account of that. Orthodox Christians don't believe that. How do we keep the new blueprint alive, fresh, always new within ourselves? Athanasius says we must fix our eyes on Jesus only and must contemplate him only. This is, of course, the advice the elders give when we are tormented by bad thoughts. Think on Jesus. Cast your mind on Jesus. Say the Jesus prayer. But you see, it's inescapably true that we must complete the trek ourselves. We have the map, but we must complete the trek ourselves through high mountain passes. We must prevail in the war with our passions. We must resist the temptations of demons who seek to insinuate themselves into our thoughts like snakes. We must put an end to worldly life and seek the company of God and his angels only. We must. St. Paul, in our epistle lesson, describes how he was once of the false descent, but now has been grafted onto the true. Quote, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, but I went to Arabia and returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. By the grace of God, Paul has been excised from his former family line. His life has been surgically cut out of that line, one in which he says he had advanced in Judaism beyond many of his contemporaries, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You see, it's a descent. It's a lineage. He has been cut out of it, and he is reborn into a new family line, the line of Jesus. Jesus, he says, is in him. And after receiving the divine seed on the Damascus Road, St. Paul went to Arabia for 3 years as a kind of gestation period, devoting his days to uninterrupted contemplation of Jesus so that this new life could be born. He spoke to no one. I knew a wise bishop who had the problem of gossiping priests. They had to make known their feelings and their beliefs and freedom of speech and integrity, and of course social networking only made it worse. And a very wise bishop I knew said, Paul, receiving the divine things, did not blog. He went to Arabia and prayed silently for 3 years. And when he emerged a new creation of God, confirmed in his new lineage. As his bountiful correspondence and divinely inspired insights have attested. We know the proof of that pudding. He is accepted into the family line of Jesus as he is welcomed by Jesus' own brother, whom we observe today in festal style. And we know the hospitality. 15 days. When we have a house guest, we may hope for their departure in the next hour or so, but these guests stayed, St. Paul stayed, for 15 days. In this season of Christmas time, and now looking forward to the Lord's baptism, you see, his nativity, his baptism, let us hold ever close to the mind of Jesus and the lineage he has offered us. It is truly royal. We are to be reborn in Bethlehem. We are to be baptized. And our Father, the King of Heaven, watches us. He watches our every footfall as we ascend through those high mountain passes toward him. But be not afraid, for he is always with us, and he will not leave us. He is always with us, for that is his name. And he has promised through his son, our forebear, David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Wow. He will guide us with his eye. For we are of his kin, his own bone and blood. Our sense of wrong, right and wrong is his sense. He sees the right, and when we choose the wrong, don't we feel it? Our knowledge of good and bad is his knowledge. It was written on the fleshly tablets of our hearts, St. Paul says, before it was ever chiseled in stone. We are his. Growing up with loving and good parents, do we ever really have to be told what is wrong, what is bad? The family tree of Jesus is the tree that produces goodness. He says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit. You know, it doesn't have to receive a little instruction manual. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit, in the same Gospel of Matthew. But what are the genes that link together Joseph the spouse, the most holy Theotokos, James the just, the apostle Paul, and every soul the Lord calls, my brother and my mother's? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brothers, my sisters. It is so simple. It is so plain. It is so well known to all of us from the time we are born and through our early years. Our only confusion comes from the lineage in the world. When we leave our homes and meet new young people, over here, look at this, and over here, look at that. Curiosity, experimentation, ruin. And soon our materialism and our pridefulness and our egos lead us to a world that is evil. But if, like St. Paul, later in life, we will open our eyes, his eyes had been clarified. It was as if scales fell from them, Acts 9:18. Then we will see the way plainly before us. Indeed, we will remember it. For no less a trusted guide than the God and Father of all I say, is watching. He is watching us with his eye. And he has given his angels, who are his ministers of his divine will and goodness, he has given his angels charge over us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.